After commuting by train for the better part of 30 years, Tim Parks has started to figure out the reasons behind how things work and don't work in Italy. English by birth, Parks married an Italian woman and they've raised their family in Verona. His latest book follows up on his bestsellers from the 1990s in which he describes getting acquainted with the everyday frustrations of daily life in Italy. Parks also writes fiction, and his book Europa was nominated for a Booker Prize in 1997. He also translates Italian literature into English and teaches at a university in Milan. His latest book continues his affectionate examination of his adopted homeland, and it's called Italian Ways, On and Off the Rails, From Milan to Palermo. Tim Parks, welcome to Travel with Rick Steves.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Thanks.
The foundation of your book is we can learn about Italian culture from the train system. How so?
Well, more or less everything. Some people have even suggested you could tell the whole history of modern Italy through the rail system. I guess the truth about myself is that I've travelled on Italian rail for the last 30 years, partly as a commuter from Verona to Milan, which is about an hour and a half commute, and then all over the country. And more, being aware of how they fix the ticketing system, how the whole policy of rail development is political rather than commercial, it gives you a sense the way people are moving on the train, the way you can get a sense of people belonging in first class, second class, slow trains, fast trains. You just begin to realize that actually you can get a sense of a whole community by talking about how it uses its rail system.
And of course, Italy is a very diverse country. In your book, you talk about how while Italy has diverse regions, the trains reflect that also. How could you draw a conclusion about southern Italy or Sicily from Piedmont and Lombardy in the north?
Well, if we go from the far north to the far south, it's really pretty dramatic. In the north, you've got a heavily used, extremely frequent train system, which costs quite a lot and which people are using intensely. If you go down to Calabria, you've got tiny two-carriage vehicles trundling along with diesel-powered often, with funds from the European Community to make the stations halfway bearable, and almost nobody traveling on them. So if you go to Sicily, you find that often there simply aren't railways where you thought they should be, or they're not running on a Sunday at all. I mean, the railways, in a certain sense, indicate the presence of the state and the extent to which the region is really linked into a national community, if such a thing exists in Italy.
Okay.
And the south is clearly is clearly slightly left out.
It's
in that
out.
Regard.
Yeah. So up in the north, you've got that Germanic blood in Lombardy, and you have that Germanic intensity of the train system and efficiency. Down in the south, it's been kind of, for historical reasons, kind of a basket case economically and relatively chaotic and underdeveloped, and consequently, you've got a subsidized train system that might not even fit the needs of the community.
Well, I'd be very careful on a lot of those declarations. I don't find the North really particularly Germanic at all, but certainly very efficient. Even in the North, the train system is simply vastly subsidized. I mean, tickets cost less than half what they cost in Germany, and season tickets probably cost about one-tenth of what they would cost in Germany.
Huh.
The South is a basket case economically, particularly since it was run by the North since about 1860. Before that, the South was definitely not a basket case economically and was very largely destroyed by the way the North took it over.
Unification around 1870 or something was actually not good for the South then. It was just going from one colonial overlord to another.
Well, you know, these things are terribly complex and one doesn't want to offend people, but unity actually, apart from Rome, really took place in 1861, after the wars of 1860. And the people in the North certainly tried to use the South rather than having a sense of community with the South. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And there were many revolts against national government. So yes, and today, certainly when you travel, for example, there's now, what's notable about Italy in the last 10 years is the introduction of a really wonderful high-speed train that runs all the way down from Turin through Milan, Bologna, Florence, Rome, Naples to Salerno, a train that cost a simply astronomic amount of money that will never be recovered or paid back, and is terribly efficient and incredibly fast, while all the regional rail services are left to languish. But once you get past Naples and then Salerno, which is not long after it, you suddenly sort of fall off the edge of the map as far as trains are concerned. and you trundle along very slowly. In the book, one thing I obviously, most of my experience of trains is in northern Italy, and I made a wonderful long trip on the trains through the south to write the last part of the book and really savor the south. Mm-hmm. And it was really wonderful because I wasn't in a hurry to get anywhere. But had I been a serious traveler, it would have been truly disastrous.
Well, you get spoiled with that super fast train that's sort of the spine of Italian economy from Rome to Milano, I suppose. And then you get south of Naples, yeah. And it's a different world. But that's sort of the charm of Italy. Tim Parks is the author of bestsellers about living in Italy. He's our guest right now on Travel with Rick Steves. His latest book examines the Italian national character as seen from the rail lines of Italy. It's called Italian Ways, On and Off the Rails, from Milan to Palermo. We have a web link to Tim's latest book and today's program details on our website. You'll find that in the radio section at ricksteves.com. In your book, you mentioned the Ferrovie dello Stato, the National Train Company, is a kind of a Catholic church. What did you mean by that?
Le Ferrovie dello Stato. Well, Italians have this probably precisely because these small states that existed more or less from the Renaissance period up until the mid-19th century, where many of them were run by foreigners or certainly by royal families to which people didn't feel very much loyalty. A whole relationship developed with power where really you play in defense all the time against power. You try and avoid your taxes. But at the same time, you want that power to offer you safety. And the Catholic Church is simply another example of a relationship with a large power that offers a kind of final safety as long as you toe the line. The Ferrovie dello Stato, everybody feels they have a right to cheap, almost free train travel if possible, and at the same time they all loathe it, and the amount of fare dodging is very considerable. The amount of traveling in first class is second class tickets, particularly on regional trains and so on.
You know, that's so interesting you say that. It's entertaining for a traveler to listen to conductors on the trains battling with Italians who are sitting in first class and shouldn't be, or who are on a train and they don't have a ticket. And you write some very funny stories about little old ladies who just stay on the train and then they get thrown off and they get on the next train and they get thrown off and sooner or later they get to where they're going to go.
They get to where they're going, yeah. A lot of the book is made up with conversations, obviously, and some of those conversations are with ticket collectors. Of course, Italy is a country we know where you have this figure of the so-called furbo, the person who's clever, who gets around the rules, who is perhaps a little dishonest, but somehow admirable because he's perhaps charming with it. And a culture that creates a person like that inevitably also creates the culture of the person who the Italians called the pignolo, the person who's absolutely finicky, that all the rules have to be obeyed and that nobody, there's no flexibility at all. And obviously, this is a good personality to have if you're checking tickets. And so you get wonderful clashes because the rules are never actually terribly clear. Wonderful, very long discussions with these people. And funnily enough, at the end, although they seem so severe, as always in Italy, things are negotiated rather than imposed. So one solution is just to invite somebody to get off at the next station. I mean, let me give you an example without wanting to bore your listeners too much, but it is a classic example. In Italy, you can buy tickets over the internet. You simply bring up the ticket on your portable screen and show it to the ticket collector, which is fantastic. You have to admire a system like that. When they moved this system to the regional rail, I did the same thing. But the first guy who collected my ticket told me that it wasn't acceptable on the screen because it said on the ticket that the ticket had to be printed. And it said it, of course, way, way off the bottom of the screen. You had to scroll down through all kinds of tiny regulations, with the result that this guy, who knew perfectly well that I paid my ticket, was asking me to pay a huge fine and so on. And there was a huge argument, almost the whole carriage, because lots of the young people said, but a PDF is printed, so it can be on the screen. But anyway, in the end, the compromise was just to invite me to get off the train at the next station, which is a classic, you know. A sort of,
and then go to battle on the next train and hope to find a different conductor.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the system is so complicated for tourists, but it's some reassurance to a tourist that we're not idiots because it's complicated to the locals as well. And you find a lot of people just What's the Italian word? I throw my arms down. I'm so frustrated or something. And people
mi cascano le braccia. Sì, sì.
Say that again.
My arms fall. Mi cascano le braccia.
Oh, yeah. I throw my arms down. I just don't.
To me, fall my arms. Mi cascano le braccia.
So you're just trying to deal with this thing with a sense of humor and don't try to get there exactly when you want to and just try to
work
it
out. Yeah, can I say that actually, you know, there are many other countries with equally complicated. I mean, the British system at the moment is a complete nightmare. But I think that they're complicated in different ways. So the British system is complicated because it's actually really geared up to usage of the train. So you pay different amounts at different times and it's terribly complicated getting your ticket because of that.
Right.
In Italy, it's all to do with pretending that there is still social prices for some tickets. Well, in fact, the railway system desperately needs money and so has to charge you real money for other tickets. So there's an awful lot of ambiguity about things that makes really no commercial sense at all. So it's fun looking at these. Actually, I think I don't want to put tourists off. They will actually find it pretty easy to use once they've figured it.
Oh, Italian rail system, you come away thinking it's great, but it's part of Italy, and that's one of the charms of Italy. And you just got to be on the ball. For me, standing on the platform, and if something comes on the loudspeaker system, I don't speak Italian, but I just judge by how everybody else reacts. If everybody curses and then goes down to the track number 7 from track number 4,
right,
you know your train's been changed and you got to join them. Tim, in your book, you write about this fascinating notion of unity in disunity. And you mentioned it's a nation at ease with the distance between the ideal and the real. Is that related to what you're talking about?
Well, certainly in terms of unity, disunity, yes. I mean, you know that Italy is Italy and not Germany, for example, or France, because the Italians are arguing with each other. I mean, they don't argue with the French and they don't argue with the Germans. They argue with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like knowing that this person is a member of a family because the family's dysfunctional, as it were.
Tim Parks takes your calls at 877-333-7425 in just a moment as we explore Italy through its train system on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.